So good morning. Would you turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So if you were with us last week, which most of you were, you heard us dwell on the topic, Pause to Hear the Angels Sing, centered around the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And today's message centers around that wonderful song, Star of the East, O Bethlehem Star. From the message taken from Luke 1 and 2, you might recall that we talked about the great theme of fear not, or doubt not the goodness of God. And if you remember from last week, I spoke to you about the three ordinary people in their humanity, Zacharias and Mary and the shepherds that were on the field, people like you and I, who had a mysterious yet great welcoming visit of angels who we call God's ministering angels of hope and direction come to them. If you remember from Luke 1 and 2, Gabriel says that he was a ministering angel directly from the presence of God with a credible, authentic, and legitimate message for the people that he visited in the various states of time. And the message was, fear not or doubt not the goodness of God. Today's message follows a very similar theme, but it accentuates a different focus. And we want to talk today about that great theme, Pause and See the Star, taken from Matthew chapter 2. But first of all, listen to the beautiful words of this song, Star of the East. Star of the East, O Bethlehem Star, guiding us on to heaven afar, sorrow and grief enthralled by the light, thou hope of each mortal in death's lonely night. Fearless and tranquil we look up to thee, knowing thou be midst eternity. Help us to follow where thou still dost guide, pilgrims of earth so wise. Star of the East, thou hope of the soul, while round us here the dark billows roll. Lead us from sin to glory afar, thou star of the East, thou sweet Bethlehem star. It's a welcoming theme today. Pause to see the star. And so from Matthew 2, 1, we read, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come now to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was much troubled, and all Jerusalem likewise with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in the dream that they should not return back to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, you might remember last year when we spoke on the theme, Guide Us to Your Star, I spoke on this exact same passage. But today I want to take it from a different focus from last year, and my theme is going to be threefold. Pause and see the star. We need to pause out of our busyness of life and the busyness of shopping and the busyness of the excitement of the season to see the star and welcome the star and follow the star for three simple reasons. First of all, from the passage, we're going to discover that this is God's star. And then we're going to discover that this is a godly star. And then we're going to discover that this is a good star. Again, it's God's star. It's a godly star in its implication, and it's a good star in its gift to humanity. But before we can really move on to investigate the themes, we need to know a little more about these wise men. Now, often at the Christmas season, we hear individuals talking about the Magi. And from the intent of the word Magi, the suggestion is that these were very, very wise individuals. They could have been what we call minor sorcerers who were investigating the hemispheres to discover the uniqueness of the stars or the celestial being. But in actual fact, these were not what we call Magi. Rather, they were ordinary individuals like you and I who were someplace in the East. Again, we need to identify with the theme that they were from the East. As to exactly where their residence was, no one has certainty. There is speculation that they came out of the Medes and were Midianites, or that they were Persian, and there is also speculation that these people were Mughals who had come from the northern part of India that had started to move down towards the south. Then they saw the star and they decided to move northwest as the star guided them. Where these people were from is not significant, but what is so very significant about these people is this, that they were intrigued by studying the stars or the heavens. And what is so very, very intriguing about this is that the foundation for them studying the stars could well have come from the knowledge of many Jews who also lived in the East at this time about the story of Abram and Sarai being guided to Canaan land. Now, you remember from Genesis chapter 12, when we studied Genesis with Brother John, how John told you that Abram, who lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, was told by God to leave family and friends and land and country, and to go to a land which the Lord God himself would guide him to that land. This meta-narrative of Abram and Sarai and Lot and the children of Israel going from the east, the Ur of the Chaldees, to Canaan land, would have been very much the focus of the Magi. Now, we need to understand that as they studied the stars, which could have well happened around 4 or 3 BC before Christ, they were there studying what we call horoscopic astrology. And its prime purpose was to seek out a divine good message that could be found in the arrangement of the stars. From scripture in the Old Testament, there are numerous examples where God guided individuals to a welcoming good end by the stars. You remember the children of Israel, how the children of Israel, they were wandering through the wilderness for a great length of time, and they were complaining to God that he had taken them out of the great fantastic land of Egypt only to take them to the wilderness and let them wander hopelessly and helplessly in confusion. When God spoke to Moses, he said, "I will give you a sign of my covenant guidance with you." And he gave them the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they followed the stars that God provided them. And so we know that God guided people in the past. So then, whenever astrology was studied, the stars were necessary to give them a confident hope that the God of the universe was giving them a sign that would not be debated or contested, because they knew that in God's sign there was a purpose, good end. At first, these astrologers would have thought that God was giving them a message of prosperity or political freedom or peace to the region in which they lived. But eventually they came to believe that regardless of what the message was, it was for God's purpose good end, and not only for humanity's. And today I invite you to pause and see the star, that today, as we see the star, we discover God's purpose good end, all to the praise of His glory. So, first of all, it's God's star. It specifically occurs when Jesus had been born. Notice what Matthew says. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It's appropriate that we understand that the star could not have come at any better time than this. Jerusalem was in chaos. The whole country, Israel, was in political disturbance and disruption because of the new Greco-Roman transfer of rulership from Jerusalem to Rome and removed further than that. The people were in rebellion because of the new laws, and there was no hope, there was no light, there was no direction, there was no identity in common association in Israel at this time. Josephus writes how there were riots on the fields and how there was disturbance in the streets and how the people refused to pay the taxes, and there was no sense of any identity or sense of human dignity or worth. But at the right time, at the appropriate time, to bring a sense of focus, the star is shown when Jesus is born. And I want to let you know that it's God's star because it came in the fullness of time when God called the Magi to authenticate Christ's birth. But it also affirms all that was written in the Old Testament regarding Christ's birth, that a Messiah, that a Redeemer, that a Savior, that hope for the world would come. And it validates Herod's command for a census and the need for Joseph and Mary to return to the city of Joseph's birth, simply to show that despite the confusion, the disarray, uncertainty, that God was still in control, bringing about His God plan for humanity. Now, there are two views regarding this star. The first one is that some believe that Jupiter and Saturn were aligning themselves up in Pisces, or the big orbit called Pisces, and that at this time the stars were all brightly shining because of the alignment of the stars. And the second one is in the Midrash, there is a writing that states that a rabbi prophesied about a Messiah coming by great light shining in the stars. But there is a problem with either interpretation. First of all, the Greek word here is star, not stars. And secondly, the wise men say, we have seen His star in the east. Now this is very, very important, because whenever we take witness in a courtroom, whenever we validate a witness, we always go to the primary source for authentication. We do not go based on hearsay. And we take the word of the wise men. They have seen His star, God's star, shining in the east. They were probably referring to Numbers 24:17, reading from verse 15. And He took up His parable and said to Balaam, the son of Beor, He has said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter that shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir shall also be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. But we need to also remember that there was mention of a supreme ruler in Psalm 72. Listen to what David writes in his very last psalm. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that the waters the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow down before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all the kings shall bow down before him, and all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and he shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their life in their sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. So the wise men saw God's star, shining in the east. Now, it's very important for you and I to understand that God sending his star is no great problem for those that know God, who know the God that created heaven and earth, who flung the stars into space, who set the orbits there, and who by the power of his might and by the power of his right hand holds all things together. If he created the stars out of nothing and set them in their orbit at the very beginning by the power of his right hand, should we not think it acceptable that in his time, in the fullness of time, he also could make his star present to guide the wise men from the east to Bethlehem in appropriate time for the birth of Christ having taken place? It's his star. And then it's his star. It compels them to travel a great distance of uncertainty as they search for the King of the Jews, not for the Emperor of Rome and not for Herod, who they eventually meet up with. You would think that wise men going to Jerusalem would first of all want to stop at Jerusalem and visit the Tetrarch or the King or Herod and give him time and what we call obeisance, homage. But consider this, that when they came to Jerusalem and they stopped by at Herod's place, they didn't even have time for tea or for coffee or for crumpets. They announced why they were there, and then quickly, it seems, shuffling their feet as if to ignore Herod, they moved on to Bethlehem following the star. But consider what happened when they got to Bethlehem. The Bible says they came to the house where Jesus lay. They entered. Their heart was overwhelmed with worship. They bowed down. They paid Christ homage. They worshipped him. And then they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This was no light visit. It was an all-consuming worship that took time. But remember, it also took them time, months, weeks, days of difficulty and troubles to go that far. And so their whole life was consumed with one purpose, to travel in submission to a star, God's star, so they could pay homage and worship in spirit and in truth the Christ child, instead of only seeing Herod. And then God's star is so very important because it directs them from the beginning to the end with a solitude of confidence that the star would carry them according to their humanity, because God knew their life was frail, their body was weak, and they could only take so much. It's very, very important for us to remember that the star, God's star, understands our humanity. He understands our personhood. He understands our DNA. And he leads us from the east, from the unknown, to a personal knowledge with Him, according to who we are. And then it's a godly star. Notice what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and are come to worship him. It's a godly star because it caught the wise men's attention as it gripped their mind, their will, and their spirit. So they traveled the great distance seeking Christ as King with a passionate desire to worship him. Very important, very important. It caught their attention. It gripped their soul, their mind, and their will. And it drove them on for one express purpose that could not be shaken. They wanted to come. They wanted to see. And they wanted to worship the King of the Jews. And as you stop to see the star, I trust that this great star will do the very same for you. Consider the effect of the Holy Spirit on John the Baptist, who, according to Scripture, was filled with the Spirit while in his mother's womb. He was so taken up with God and with Christ and servitude because of the meaning it gripped his heart. The Bible tells us that he went about in the desert dressed in animal skins, eating honey and locusts, and preaching, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So great was his compassion for Christ that he even laid down his life for the gospel. And Saul, the star, the brightness of the sun, gripped Saul on the road to Damascus. It caught his attention, and he followed God, ardently confessing to his fellow believers that for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I wonder today if Christ's star, like it gripped the people in the east, has gripped our heart. It's a godly star because it affirms the reality that something good, something great, something radically different has taken place. They came to Jerusalem, and when they announced their intent, it was that they have come to seek the King of the Jews. It troubled Herod, and it troubled all Jerusalem with him, because Herod should have received glory. But they moved on, and it gave their travels credibility in that they were not on a trip of a hope-so, a think-so, or a maybe-so. It affirmed that they had direction and purpose in their travels, because they knew that something good was at the end of their journey. You see, they were on a fact-finding mission. They were seeking the King of the Jews, now born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so as we stop to see the star, we need to understand that finding Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, is not a wishful plan. It's a godly thing, because it's a God thing. God has sent forth his Son into the world. And then it's a godly star because it instilled within these wise men worship to a child who had been born, as is demonstrated in them bringing the finest gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, to lay before him on their arrival. Now, these were very, very costly and cherished personal gifts that would only be given or parted with to someone you knew well, but never to a stranger. You wouldn't go out and buy a costly gift and give it to a man on the street that you never met. Give him a telephone that's worth $500 or $600, or give him a new car, or give him pearls or anything like that. You only give finest gifts to somebody you know personally, you can trust, you have confidence, you have built up an association or a friendship with. But these gave costly, cherished personal gifts as they reverently bowed down before him, because I think they thought that these gifts already belong to the Christ child. It's a godly star if it ignites within you and I a sense of worship, a sense of devotion, a sense of wanting to give the very, very best at Christmas to Christ and to God, because we rightly already belong to Him. Amen? We already belong to Him. And then it's a good star. It's a good star because it continuously compelled them to follow the star. We need to remember that as they walked, the star led them. For the Bible says they followed the star wherever it went. It's a good star because it leads us one step at a time. One step at a time. It led them from the east to Jerusalem, to Herod, to Bethlehem, and then to the house where Jesus lay. And one thing about God, He always leads us faithfully, securely, one step at a time. And then we need to remember that this is how God led others in the past. When God gave a promise of good return to Jacob about finding a wife for Isaac, Jacob, you remember, sent Eliezer to seek out a wife. And Eliezer left with the blessing of Jacob, and he took many gifts, he took many servants, he took camels. But Eliezer did not know when he left Jacob's home who he was going to find. All he knew is that he had to go to Jacob's well. When he got to Jacob's well, God led Rebekah to come and give them the water. Then it's a good star because it empowered them to see beyond the present, both difficulties and joys, to a God-centered, God-worshipped future. They were in the east. They could have enjoyed their life, but the good star, God's star, moved them to see beyond the present to a better life that is God-centered. And you know, at this time of the year, many people are consumed with getting and receiving. And that's fine and well in the context of this life. But I think if we go and pause and see the star, we will see God's blessing for the future. And then it birthed within them a knowledge regarding the difference of having a distant and removed knowledge about God versus a personal encounter with the living God. It birthed within them the knowledge, the difference of having only a knowledge about God versus having a personal encounter with a living God. Do you remember Herod, when the wise men came? He said to them, "Go to Bethlehem, search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Herod wanted to know about God. He only wanted to have an idea from a distance, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The wise men, however, wanted to go to Bethlehem and encounter the living God. What a change was made in their lives. You know the story of the wise men. How after that they were in Bethlehem and they saw the Christ and they worshipped him and they gave him the very best that they already believed rightly belonged to him. The Bible tells them that another star guided them safely home another route. But let me tell you what happened to Herod. Herod, you would think, would be the type of a person who would say, "I'm the leader here. I have power to go with these people. I have power to go and contest what is going on in Bethlehem. And I'm going to pack my bags up and my troops and everything else. And I'm also going to go and discover this God at this appropriate time, in the appropriate place." But Herod, like thousands of people today, stood afar off and said, "I only want to have a distant relationship with him." Herod became bitter and angry. And Herod, in the life of Christ, was one of Christ's biggest troubles. and he thought that he had the upper rein. But Acts tells us that Herod died with worms crawling out of his stomach. The wise men went to a good end. Herod went to a sad end because he had no time to develop a personal knowledge relationship with God. And often people come to a sad, ruinous end all because they do not take the appropriate opportunity to come that extra mile following God's star that has a godly directive for a good end, even eternal life, into the ages, world without end. So today as you leave, pause to see the star and move in sync with it, because I guarantee you this, that when all is said and done to the praise of his glory, it will bring you to that good end, God's good end, which will give you godly joy, peace, and delight in him. Amen. All to the praise of his glory.